Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time air conditioning seeker.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that certainly has its own choices of favorite films, even if some of those films might not be on everyone's list of the best. What makes something the best is topical this week as we take a look at the New York Times having consulted with something like 500 of what they call, quote, influential directors, actors, and other notable names in Hollywood and around the world, unquote, in an effort to compile what they're declaring as the 100 best movies of the 21st century. We'll take a look at the list, especially the top 10, and compare it to what we think deserves to be there. But before we do that, let me share what one unnamed film scholar slash blogger says constitutes the formula for a great film, which I, for one, find hard to argue. Quote, the magic ingredients for greatness boil down to story, cultural impact, technical innovation, creative synergy, suspending disbelief, and casting. But there's also a mystery surrounding greatness, a spark which sticks in the minds of viewers and places a film in the history books, unquote. That's hard to argue, is it?
I think so. And the thing I like about lists like this is that they're arbitrary and kind of stupid, and I love them anyway. And it's such a fun exercise to just try and boil down an entire, 25 years of movies into just 10. And it's also kind of a ridiculous exercise at the same time. But we should say that we're each going to reveal to one another our own top 10 lists.
After we do the New York Times.
Yes. Actually, before we get started, do you want me to read the top 10 that the New York Times
picked?
Why
don't you read the top 10 list?
Okay.
And read it from 10 to 1.
Okay. 10, The Social Network. 9, Spirited Away. 8, Get Out. 7, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. 6, No Country for Old Men. 5, Moonlight. 4, In the Mood for Love. 3, There Will Be Blood. 2, Mulholland Drive. 1, Parasite.
Yeah, let me jump in here and say 3 of those made my list. That's all.
Same here.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay,
exactly.
Wow, interesting.
Yep.
But I actually thought, you can gripe all you want about specific movies that are on here, or specific movies that aren't on here, or movies that are ranked higher than you'd like them.
It's a pretty good
list. And I plan to do that.
Yeah, and well, that's also what's fun about lists
like this.
But
it's a good list overall.
I think it's a pretty good list, too.
Yeah.
We've seen so many of these, and I think this one's actually pretty good.
In fact, Mary Pat and I looked at it and thought, the only one we haven't seen
is... The only movie we haven't seen.
The only one is Yee Yee, and where is Yee Yee ranked?
40.
Number 40.
Yeah,
so,
the Edward Yang
film. So we've
seen
99 of the 100.
Yeah, okay.
And you've seen all 100.
Yeah, I have seen Yee Yee, which is great and absolutely deserves a spot on this list. So yeah, I'll just say up front that I thought this was a fun list. And going back through the 2000s, I mean, these are like my formative movie-going years because, I was a little boy at the beginning of the 21st century.
Now, you were a zygote in 1999,
yeah,
right?
Well, and it was also when I started getting really into movies, where I started becoming, I wanted to see everything I could. And so a lot of the movies that I picked are almost like signposts in my life. And so I can't really separate my nostalgia for them with maybe the ultimate quality.
But I'm not sure that anybody else who is choosing.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Anything differently.
And I also should spoil that all 10 of my personal choices did end up on the New York Times top 100. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, same with mine.
Well, okay. I always like a template to work from, and that is one of the benefits of, having a pre-existing list, and we can naysay or applaud or whatever. But I do have – at some point, we do need to talk about some omissions.
Oh, go ahead. I think you should.
Let's
nitpick
here. Well, nitpick of the ones that were not in the top 100 at all. Poor Things, which I loved. La La Land.
Yeah, that was surprising to me.
Yeah, that was very surprising to me.
Finding Nemo. Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Inside Out. 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days.
Yes.
And then Lover's Rock. I don't know if that qualifies because it was one segment of this Steve McQueen sort of...
Trilogy.
Small acts.
Yeah, small acts. So those were ones that I thought were overlooked in terms of this particular list. I also really always like Persepolis, which is screened here a couple times, at least in part, at Whitworth as part of the Leonard Oakland tribute.
I was also surprised that the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring appeared on here, but the Return of the King did not, which I thought would have maybe even cracked the top 10. I was surprised by that. I was also surprised by the fact that Sideways wasn't on there. The Banshees of Inisherin didn't make the top 100. The Irishman and Killers of the Flower Moon didn't make it. And there's only one Spielberg film, even though I think the films that Spielberg has made in the 2000s, I think history has been pretty kind to them. But Minority Report is the only one of his movies
right,
that cracked the top 100.
I'm not sure I would have selected that.
I do love Minority Report.
I know you do. The other thing that we talked about, the fact there are some comedies on here, and I did like that. So it didn't totally go to like highbrow, you know, films that people didn't see. So if you look at Superbad, Anchorman, Bridesmaids, I mean, I was pleased to see those additions.
And I'll throw out some stats here before we get into our own individual lists. I'm also fascinated by how lists like this sort of represent changing cultural opinions, whether it's individual people's opinions or sort of the overall consensus opinion. Of the last 25 Best Picture Oscar winners, only 10 made this top 100. Of the past 25 Palme d'Or winners at the Cannes Film Festival, only 4 made the list. I thought those were interesting numbers. And then the directors that showed up the most frequently on the list, Christopher Nolan has 5 films in the top 100. Paul Thomas Anderson, the Coen brothers, and Alfonso Cuarón all have 4. And then David Fincher and Quentin Tarantino have 3. So those are the names that show up most frequently, which feels right for the 21st century.
Yeah, I think I don't really have a problem with that. Yeah. I mean, I do like Michael Haneke, and he has one film on here.
Yes.
But I also was a little disappointed that there weren't more docs on this list.
Yeah.
You know, because I think, are there only 2?
I fixed that on my list.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay. So The Act of Killing and Grizzly Man
The
are
Gleaners
on here.
And I by Anya Sparda.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, a very low showing for documentaries. That is true.
Well,
should we start getting into our individual choices?
Let's let Mary Pat start it off.
All right, let's hear it. Your top 10.
Okay, so top 10 in no particular order. Mulholland Drive, In the Mood for Love, Spirited Away, Mad Max Fury Road, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Departed, A Prophet, Before Sunset, and The Florida Project.
That's a great list. I'm not going to quibble
was
with
that
any
10?
Of those.
I don't know, but all I know is that 5 of those are on my list.
Well, so let's hear yours then.
All right. And I'm going to go in an order that could be 1 to 10, but it doesn't really make any difference. My number 1 is The Tree of Life. Mm-hmm. It is one of the great films I've seen in my lifetime. 2, Mulholland Drive. 3, There Will Be Blood, Paul Thomas Anderson, his masterpiece. 4, Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. 5, Pan's Labyrinth, Guillermo del Toro's masterpiece. The Florida Project, Sean Baker. The Act of Killing, Grizzly Man. And because no list of the top 10 can be without a Scorsese film, The Departed.
Great list. Okay, now here's mine. I just did mine in alphabetical order because I couldn't figure out any other kind of ranking.
But you do know the alphabet?
I do know the alphabet,
okay, good.
Yes. Quite
good
well, in
know.
Fact. So I'll start off
in which language, though?
Just English. I'll start off in the A's here with Adaptation, Spike Jonze and Charlie Kaufman.
I like that.
Brokeback Mountain by Ang Lee. I thought about Crouching Tiger, but I went with that one. The Master by Paul Thomas Anderson. That's my favorite of his from this particular century. Mulholland Drive by David Lynch. Next up, Joel and Ethan Coen's No Country for Old Men. As perfect as movies get. Pan's Labyrinth by Guillermo del Toro made my list. Roma by Alfonso Cuarón. The Royal Tenenbaums by Wes Anderson. You want to talk about a formative movie. That's one of mine.
Yeah.
David Fincher's The Social Network. And wrapping up my top 10, I think I'm going to get some grousing in the room for this one. Uncut Gems by Josh and Benny Safdie.
No, I was expecting it. So you're not going to get any pushback on that one.
No, you're going to get lots of pushback, okay, but
well,
it was expected.
We could talk more about it in the second half. But I think the only movie out of our list that showed up on all 3 was Mulholland Drive. And honestly, when they started, so the thing with the New York Times list,
they put it out, teaser.
They put it out in installments. It was 20 movies every day over the course of 5 days. My prediction was that Mulholland Drive would end up number 1.
And you almost?
I almost had it. It was number 2. Obviously, Parasite was number 1. It's interesting that Parasite didn't make any of our list, but I don't have a problem with it being number 1. I think that's a perfectly reasonable choice, and I also think that it just sums up kind of the feelings in the air right now about just the state of the world. So I think it makes sense as a number
one. It's so different. I was looking at the story that you wrote for the Inlander in 2017.
And that was 8 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the New York Times did a similar list like this back then.
And it's so different, the list then from your list now. And I think 10 years from now, Parasite might not be on the list.
Yeah, who knows? And that's what I like about these lists is it's kind of taking the temperature of the right now, but it's also taking history into account at the same time. And again, yeah, I think you're right. It's like the Sight and Sound list that they put out every 10 years. That goes through, you know, cycles of change too. So
yeah, it does.
Who knows what my top 10 might look like 10 years from now.
When that list comes out, if Citizen Kane ever falls out of the top 10 – I'm discounting
that
list
wild.
Forever
that be
because
wild.
That is one of the great films ever made.
But not of the 21st century.
No, so, not of the 21st century. Okay, so I think it's time to take a break. We've been discussing the list of the New York Times with the help of some 500 of its closest consultants is calling the 100 best movies of the 21st century. You're listening to Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to continue arguing about what belongs and what doesn't belong on the Times' list. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed the list of what the New York Times is calling the best 100 movies of the 21st century. When we left off, Mary Pat was about to make a point.
Yes, I was. So we talked about the films that our lists had in common, but there are three films in the top 10 that none of us selected.
Of the New York Times top 10.
Correct.
Yeah.
Moonlight, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and Get Out. So, top 10 worthy?
Moonlight very nearly made my top 10. It's in my second 10. As far as Eternal Sunshine, I had a feeling that would crack the New York Times top 10. I just went with adaptation. I mean, I know it doesn't really, there's no rules here, but in terms of Charlie Kaufman screenplays, I just prefer adaptation. But I think Eternal Sunshine is amazing. So that's why I didn't go with that one. Get Out, I would not put that in my top 10, but I do feel like that is going to end up being one of the most influential films of the 21st century. We're already seeing horror movies.
Correct.
Like, horror
that
completely
are adopting
changed after the success of that
but
film.
Let me,
it's undeniable.
I want to push back a little bit because influential, is that the same thing as greatest?
Not necessarily,
I don't think
but
so.
But I also think Get Out is a great film. I don't know if it's
I don't
top
think it's,
10.
I
think it's a great film.
Okay.
I don't know even know if it's a top 100, but go on.
I need to ask you, Nathan, about The Social Network. Is there something I missed?
Well, okay. So I want to emphasize that whittling down 25 years of movies to 10 was agonizing. I could have done a top 100 and still had many titles
left over.
Yes. I mean,
I found some that were left out, in my opinion.
It's an embarrassment of riches. But I kind of waffled back and forth on choosing a Fincher film if I wanted to go with The Social Network or Zodiac, which is another one of my favorite movies of the last 25 years. And also that rule of one movie per director, that was just a self-imposed thing so I wouldn't go crazy, right? But I think the further away we get from The Social Network, which came out in 2010 and is directed by Fincher, written by Aaron Sorkin, a film about the creation of Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg's issues with all the guys he co-founded it with or maybe stole the idea from, however you want to describe it. I think the further we get from
the
that
other guys
movie,
he cheated.
Well, and you know, some of them had it coming too. So there are no good guys in
hey,
this
Dakota
particular
Johnson,
story.
That's one of her 33
that's
films.
That's true. The further we get from this movie, though, the more I'm convinced it's the definitive film of the 21st century in terms of capturing the feeling of the time, diagnosing the specific kinds of personalities that have thrived at the expense of the rest of us. I mean, it's I don't think any other movie has better captured social media and the contradiction of it being this thing that was supposed to bring us together, but actually isolated us and made us dumber and made us more gullible and made us less empathetic. And on top of everything else, it is just such a thrillingly made movie. I don't think Fincher has directed a movie as good since. I don't think anyone has directed a Sorkin script as well as this.
I don't know. I may need to go watch that again because it just did not resonate for me at the time and it doesn't now either.
I've revisited it many times over the years, and every time I come back to it, one, I notice something new and different, which I also think is a hallmark of a great movie, but it also just gets scarier and sadder every time I come back to it because things about Facebook and social media just keep getting worse.
Well, maybe they'll just make a documentary about the Sanchez Bezos wedding, and that will, you know, top this.
If
somehow
that comes out, we will not be reviewing
okay,
it.
Okay, good to know. I need to ask a question. Were you surprised that Mad Max Fury Road showed up on my list?
Yes,
a little bit.
Because I was really surprised it didn't show up on either of yours because you were both such fans.
I love that movie. It's also in my second 10. I think it is, if not the best action movie of the 21st century so far, it's certainly
That's what I figured. If I was going to go with that genre, that's what I
It was very, very close to cracking my top 10. That was another one that I almost wept as I took it off the list.
You know, in constructing my list, I went through the first seven no-brainers. These were all ones that I thought should be on there. When it came to the final three, The Act of Killing, I went, well, that belongs on there too because it's one of the great documentaries.
Yes.
Grizzly Man, well, I had to put that on there because a Herzog film has to be on this list. And The Departed, a Scorsese film has to be on this
list
too.
Although I'm surprised, I was kind of surprised by myself that I didn't put a Scorsese movie on the list because, you know, he's probably my favorite living filmmaker and has made several masterpieces over the last 25 years. I'm kind of surprised that if you were going to pick a Scorsese movie, you didn't go with something like The Irishman or Killers of the Flower Moon. Why did you go for The Departed? What pointed you in that direction?
Yeah, so, you know, it's got star power all through it. It's typical Scorsese in that he does not compromise all the way along. It's full of surprises. It's so well made. I mean, it's Mark Wahlberg's best movie, and he's like fifth or sixth rated in the film. It is, as I was trying to say, a slice of American life, a slice of American crime that I think is just among the best he's did. I could have put any of his films that he's made, but I chose The Departed simply because that's the one that has stayed with me the most. I think Killers of the Flower Moon is just too recent for me. I got to let sit
for another couple of years. And recency bias is interesting here because no movie from the last 5 years cracked my top 10. It's everything from 2019 and older. So maybe there is something to letting something kind of marinate.
For me, 2017.
Yeah.
Well, so Nathan, I've got to call you out because I'm not seeing Lady Bird on your list and your canine offspring will be very sad about that because you like Greta.
Oh, yeah. And Lady Bird is one of my favorite movies. It would be in my top 20.
Haven't you driven around the streets of Sacramento looking for filming locations?
Yeah, I have some pictures saved on my phone of some of the houses from Lady Bird if you ever want to look at them. No, that's a movie that's very close to my heart for a lot of reasons. I don't know. I think if we were limited to the last 10 years as opposed to the last 25 years, I think it easily would have cracked the top 10. Yeah. But, you know, there's so many movies from the early 2000s that are just so important to me and that I think that I saw it at a time where they just kind of blew my brain open and made me realize that, oh, movies can do that. I mean, something like The Royal Tenenbaums, seeing that movie when it first came out was just, I mean, a total groundbreaker for me. Mulholland Drive, seeing that when it came out, when I was way too young to have seen that. We talked about that not that long ago when Lynch passed away. But, I mean, those movies are so, again, formative to me that I can't not include them. And on top of that, I also think they're just spectacular works of art that have stood the test of time.
And well, the one that I wanted to give a shout out to because I think it's its anniversary year is In the Mood for Love, Wong Kar-wai's. It's contemplative. It was beautifully filmed. I mean, I can still see those images in my head.
The colors in that movie, the clothes they wear, the food they eat. It's such a sensual movie, but there's like no sex in it at all. It's just about longing glances and things. And that movie, by the way, is opening at the Magic Lantern. You can see it on the big screen.
The short.
With
that
a short
inspired
film.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that movie,
too. Yeah, I'll push back a bit because the movie never connected with me.
But, divorce time.
Divorce time, exactly. Yeah. But I will say, I'm going to go back and talk about The Tree of Life because part of, I think, making a list like this you know, we can talk about what great films is, and I mentioned what that one film scholar had to say. For me, it's a personal reaction, a personal reflection, and to me, The Tree of Life, I'd lived that. I was the oldest of three brothers. I grew up for 3 years in Texas right around that time. All those things that happen in that movie, the meditative, the elegiac, to use a word that you were saying earlier, Nathan, all of it works for me. And in talking about style, to me, that is the essence of what Malick puts on the screen. He can sometimes go a little bit long. He can go a little bit weird and wild. But it all, to me, works in The Tree of Life. It's one of the great films I've seen in my life.
I love that movie, too. It would absolutely be in my top 20. It was another one that I struggled with not including it.
Not a fan. Divorce time yet again, I guess. But I am curious because we didn't have any Linklater films on there.
I know. And yeah. That also killed me.
I know. Boyhood, Before Her. Sunset. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, Her was another one. Yeah. Again, this was really, really, really tough. And if I were to make the list all over again, even next week,
there's
it might be different.
There's an idea for a show one time, famous trilogies, because then the Before trilogy would have to be on there.
One of the best.
And, yeah.
Well, and what he did in Boyhood was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean,
over how many years was it?
12.
12 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we close out here, I think it's probably a good idea to just remind folks about our individual choices for
the best films
of the
21st
century.
If we get these lists, maybe we can put them on the website.
Yeah, sure. So really quickly through my 10 choices, Adaptation, Brokeback Mountain, The Master, Mulholland Drive, No Country for Old Men, Pan's Labyrinth, Roma, The Royal Tenenbaums, The Social Network, Uncut Gems.
And I will go The Tree of Life, Mulholland Drive, There Will Be Blood, Spirited Away, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Pan's Labyrinth, The Florida Project, The Act of Killing, Grizzly Man, and The Departed.
Okay, so now you can hear a list of someone who has ADHD, and I don't think it's the same as the list I gave you before. So, Mulholland Drive, In the Mood for Love, Spirited Away, Mad Max Fury Road, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Departed, A Prophet, Before Sunset, and The Florida Project. I don't think that's the same list, was it?
Whatever. Anyway, that was another special edition of Movies 101. This one, a discussion of the New York Times' list of what it is calling the best movies of the 21st century. I'm Dan Webster, and I am joined here, as always, by my co-hosts, Nathan Weinbinder and Mary Pat Truthart. Let's take this moment to thank Cassie Fox for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer, wherever we can find it. Until then, consider these words from the late, great Alfred Hitchcock. If it's a good movie, the sound could go off and the audience would still have a pretty clear idea of what was going on. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.